All right, we are back on session number 8, and this is a very interesting topic, very important, and it's conflict.
Yes, we have to deal with conflict in the church. Now, when I entered ministry, I had this lovely picture of the church that Christians all loved each other, we all got along, and I found that's just not true. If there's anything that the enemy, we talked about spiritual warfare, anything that the enemy wants to create, it's disagreement and division within the church, and he does work pretty well. I've had conflict, I've experienced conflict in every church I've served. The role of the elder was important in all of those situations. When the first church I served, which was a little tiny church, I found that I had stepped on some of the, they call the holy cows, the things that things are holy in the church that, somehow belong, are identified with a beloved previous pastor or something. I found that I transgressed those, and some people would express their dissatisfaction with that. In the second church, we relocated in a 6.5-year project, and wow, I found that a lot of the conflict was directed at me as the leader. We looked at that thing that leaders are the ones that the sharpshooters shoot at. If we can get a leader out, it's going to impact the whole church. Anyway, this is going to be part of your reality in the church if you are an elder. There will likely be conflict during, if you're on a term or if you're not on a term, whatever the situation, there will likely be a period where there's conflict, one person against each other. Now, the Bible indicates to us that this is something we shouldn't be surprised at. There is one of the most powerful conflicts in history recorded for us in Acts chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas, who were the first missionaries, had gone out, and Gentiles were coming through faith. Churches were being established after their first missionary journey, and that arose a conflict between the Jews, who said, well, they got to keep all the Jewish laws, and Paul and Barnabas and others said, no, we couldn't keep those laws. We're saved by grace, et cetera, et cetera. And so it all culminated in a council in Acts 15. And at the end of that, the decision was made, no, we're not going to require new converts to keep that Mosaic law. And Paul and Barnabas are excited at the end of that, and they said, let's go back and visit the other churches and go beyond and plant new churches. And so they decided, yes, let's go. And they're getting ready to go, and they had a conflict. And the conflict was over a man named Mark, John Mark, who was the man who wrote the Gospel of Mark in the Bible. Mark had gone along on the first missionary journey, but had abandoned Paul and Barnabas and gone home. And so Barnabas wanted to take him along again, to mentor him, to grow him in ministry. And Paul said, no way. And they couldn't reach an agreement. And so they split up. And Scripture says it was a very strong disagreement. Now, the good news is that apparently some of that was healed over a period of time, because later in Paul's letters he refers to Mark as a fellow worker, as somebody who's with him. He tells Timothy at the end of his letter, when you come, bring Mark with you, because he's a great help to me. But we never read about reconciliation between Paul and Barnabas. And so conflict is real. It's in the church. Even that early church that was so driven by the Holy Spirit. So, what do you do when it's in your church? That's what we're going to talk about in this session. So, session 8 is dealing with conflict. And, that's an image I found online. It's very, very real. Now, a couple of resources that I'm going to refer to as we go on here. This first one is Moving Your Church Through Conflict by Speed Lees. He says there are 5 levels of conflict, okay? Healthy conflict is you got a problem to solve. How do we solve this? Or we got a disagreement about something. How do we deal with this disagreement? Unhealthy conflict is where there's a contest and somebody's got to win. Who's going to win? And that means somebody's going to lose. And then a really healthy conflict is fight or flight, where, it's a heated situation where somebody's just going to lose, and so they will end up leaving your church in that type of conflict. And then there's the intractable situations where there's just a basic disagreement about significant things, and as a result, people divide. in church splits, I'd love to tell you that they are rare. They are not. They come often in the history of the church. And usually after a church split, there's a period of time and both the new churches will die. It's a tactic of the enemy. So what do we need to know about conflict that we can go through it healthily and well? This is a well-known graphic. You'll notice that where high conflict and low conflict are the right hand, the vertical, and avoid and accommodate are low. The left hand is one. What's important here? Achieving my goals, the goals of the church? Or the low end is importance of maintaining and improving relationship with the other party to the conflict. What's more important? Now, if achieving your own goals is a low priority, then you can avoid, you can give in.
Right, a lot of times you can just say, all right, whatever, we're just not going
to. Right, that's not important. What's more important to me is my relationship with you. Or if it's really important, then you compete and recognize you've entered a win-lose situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will tell you that that is a reality. I've been in both kinds of conflict where something is just, this is a minor thing. I don't have to hang on this one. And but there have been some that were about the very nature of the church I was serving.
Mm.
And at that point, you got to say, sorry. Lost some people, but the vision continued.
Right.
I remember when we went through the worship wars. When we were changing the style of worship. This was in Southern California, and we had a very traditional style of worship when I came there. And it was organ-led, organ-driven, and the reality began to come that when we were looking at our community, the only place people heard an organ played was in Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles.
Right.
And so,
like, this is not what the community is.
And this is not going to make people feel like, I belong here. And
right.
So we began.
Resignate. Yeah.
We began a process of changing the worship style, and we had complaints from some of the older people. And some of it got really testy, let's put it that way. And I remember the day, I was only there a short time, and one of the things we did was change the bulletin. We used to hand out a bulletin on Sunday morning. I don't know if anybody does that anymore. But after COVID. But on the front was a picture of the building. And I said, when they've walked into the building, they've seen the building.
Right,
so
right.
I asked, are the artists in the church? And I asked six artists to come up with a definition, a picture of the ministry of our church. And so these artists came up with some great pictures. And we used those on the front of the bulletin. I remember the first time, one was beautiful. It was, this caterpillar is going up this, eating this stalk of wheat, and then turns into a butterfly. And like, that's who we are. We're taking people and we're feeding them the gospel.
The word of God until they
Right, and I got a call that afternoon from a woman who said, I walked home today and I wept the whole time. I've lost my church. Thinking, what?
What? Yeah, it's like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Anyway, they were opposed to about everything that was happening, and as a result, I went to visit them one time, directed by the elders, and I suggested that maybe they should go somewhere else to church. Now, there were a lot of great churches in the community, and I remember the man saying to me, we were here when you came, we'll be here when you leave. So we are in a conflict, and I'm not going to lose this conflict, and I didn't. They ended up leaving much later, which was a relief. But anyway, so it can be, depending on how important is this subject. Now, there are other choices, too, as we go back to the diagram. If it's a low importance, you can avoid it, you can accommodate, you can lose to the situation. The best process is probably in the middle there to compromise. to try to find a win-win, or that you both win some and you both lose some. Collaborating up in the far side, where both the importance of achieving your goals and the relationship, you're looking for a win-win. In fact, this is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Wonderful book. You should find it and read it. But number 4, you'll notice, is to think win-win.
Think in that collaborating mindset.
Yeah. Stephen Covey is the author of that book, and I got to see him once, and he was going to demonstrate this, and I thought, this is great. And he started talking about dealing with a conflict. Yeah, he said, who here says is against abortion? That it's wrong. It's killing babies. And so one couple raised their hand. And he said, and who here thinks that abortion ought to be allowed in any situation? And another couple raised their hand. And he got the 4 of them up there, seated them together, and started looking for what's the common ground. I went over there just amazed.
Like, no!
Because they were starting to come to some agreements, and agreements about the role of the church, and et cetera. So, think win-win, but if this is about some of the basics, about the values of your church, make sure you stick to it and win-lose if you have to. Ooh, that sounds terrible. Another person who's pretty helpful in this is Lisa Adkins. And in her writing, she came up with this kind of how you handle it. A level 1 is a problem to solve. Well, yeah, collaboration. Seek that win-win alternative. Consensus. Learn where every team member's head is in regard to the issue. And in time, arrive at a decision everyone can back. Now, this can be as simple as, who uses which rooms. Or one of the conflicts I dealt with in a church in California was which toys are being played with. We had an outside group that would come in to our children's ministry area and play with the toys. And some of the people who used them on Sunday didn't like that. And so it felt like they weren't clean well enough, So you sit people down and you talk about it. Now, how are we going to arrange this? And what's the win-win? And came to some win-wins. Level 2, where there's a disagreement. Support, empowering the other to resolve the problem. Make sure that people feel safe in the process. That nobody's attacking doesn't happen.
Right, it doesn't get that ugly edge to it.
Yeah, I remember sitting with a couple once, and the guy starting to walk out because he said, we're getting nowhere. And this was 2 different men in the church. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Now, that's just inappropriate. We're going to solve this and sit back down. Safety, collaboration. Level 3, where there's a contest, who's going to win and who's going to lose. Yield to the other person's view when the relationship is more important than the issue. This is a successful short-term strategy only. It becomes a liability if used over and over the long term. Negotiate. When the thing the conflict is about is divisible, such as the use of a shared resource, negotiation can work. Negotiation will not work when the issue revolves around people's values. Values are not divisible, and one person giving in to another is a violation of their own values, feels like a sellout. So get factual. You gather facts about the situation to establish the facts. Level 4, where somebody's on a crusade. Establish safe structures. You shuttle this diplomacy going from one to the other, carrying the thoughts from one group to the other until they're able to de-escalate and use the tool available. And then number 5, when it's world war, you do whatever you can. Do whatever is necessary to prevent people from hurting each other. But then there's just going to be a group that loses. And that's just the way it is. Ooh, that sounds terrible. But now let's talk about the leader's role.
Mm-hmm.
Emphasize Matthew 18.
As an elder, you have a very important role in all of this.
Right. And you are not to escalate the conflict as an elder. So, Matthew 18, this is an important verse. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. If he doesn't listen, take one or two others along with you, that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of 2 or 3 witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. In other words, out. You're out.
Right,
I'm going to have nothing to do with you.
Brotherly fellowship.
Yes. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, if 2 of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So you got at the beginning of those verses, there's somebody who sinned against somebody, hurt somebody. There's a conflict that's going on. At the end, there's a possibility of the presence of Jesus. So what is the leader's role? You emphasize Matthew 18. In other words, if people come to you, you ask, have you talked to them? Make sure that they seek to play the role that's given to them by Scripture. Make sure all sides are heard. That's important. Right. Now, I remember one conflict where I didn't feel that the one side was being, this was in an elders' meeting, so there was a group around here, a group of 12 people around the table, including me and the other pastor who served that church. And I felt like the one side wasn't being articulated well. And so I took that responsibility to make sure it's articulated so that make sure all sides are heard and that it's all understood. Okay?
And it's easy to get a bias where you might agree with a certain side and then you don't want to even have the other side get heard well enough, but it's like that's not right.
Right. So
all sides need to be able to be understood, like you said, and heard.
And, if you're an elder, you can say, wait a minute, I don't think we've understood totally
what's going on.
Just to make sure all sides are heard. Avoid triangulation. Now, that's a term where if there's a conflict, in that diagram, the green and the blue have a conflict with red, well, blue will try to get you on his or her side.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are really good at this.
Right. They're very convincing about their...
And, I had a policy for staff that we don't talk about somebody else unless they're in the room. And... so I remember the day when somebody comes in and says, so-and-so did this. I said, they're in their office. Let's go down and talk with them. I'm not going to triangulate. I'm not going to get on one side or the other. See, people are going to do that. Your job is to not let it happen. Define the issues. In other words, let's clarify. Explore the assumptions. What assumption are you making here? Even ask if that assumption is valid. The assumption was somebody gave this toy to be used by the kids on Sunday morning, and you say, really? Is that a valid assumption? Maybe we should go back to them and ask them.
Right. Because sometimes a conflict is really made up by assumptions when there really isn't a
right,
conflict.
Right. Explore the alternatives. What else could we do here? And always push toward reconciliation. This is tough stuff. I'd like to recommend a resource to you if you're in church that's dealing with significant conflict, and it's a Colossian forum. You can look it up online. They're well known, but they provide a lot of services to churches that are going through conflict. They'll teach you about listening circles and putting people together in small groups so that they can deal with the conflict, and then small group materials. They'll provide materials for that. Put down listening circles twice. Sorry about that. Training. They'll train people to lead from the church to lead those circles, and then they will give speakers, if necessary, to just talk about the issues that are raised through conflict. Now, I worked in a church. I was an interim pastor for a year and a half in a church that did this. They were having a very significant conflict that in some ways threatened the life future of the church. And so I watched as this happened. These people, small groups were meeting, and these trained people in these listening circles, listening to one another, hearing each other's concerns. And they plowed away forward. The elders finally made a decision about what the future of the church was going to be. And what was amazing to me is there were some who you could say that they lost. If there's a win-lose, they were on the lose side of that equation. But they stayed because they said, we felt like we were heard, we were understood, we understand now that other side better, and so we're hanging in there. And so just recommend them to you if you face conflict.
And I think as we're in this topic of conflict, it's one of the things where we said, you know, this is unavoidable in ministry. Mm-hmm. This can get very intense. There can be huge losses that occur from conflict. It can be a scheme of the devil's in so many ways. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, there is something to be encouraged about with conflict. It's an opportunity for God to show up in ways that you can't even imagine, and for people to be reconciled that you would never think would be reconciled, and for growth to take place. And, you know, again, even going back to that first conflict we talked about with Paul and Barnabas, mm-hmm. You know, this conflict was very intense. This was very hard. But now these two missionaries got to go in different places, and as you said, you know, Mark was reconciled to Paul. Mm-hmm. Paul saw him show up and do amazing things in ministry. And so a conflict can be very hard, but don't underestimate what God's going to do with it.
Yes, and, you know, and the way you handle it often is the way that defines what's
right.
going to be.
Right,
what's
if
going
it
to
becomes
be,
a positive, God-glorifying
right.
moment, or if
right.
it becomes,
right. yes.
you know, the devil really got a foothold and caused
right.
a lot of mayhem.
And as an elder, you know, we've been talking about the church in general, but this is also true individually. I had a severe conflict with a man I partnered in ministry with for 20 years, and we weren't speaking to each other. And I'll give him credit. He was the one who called and said, I don't want to let 20 years go. So we began to meet together, and today I get a phone call from him. It's one of those. I said, oh, good. I get to talk to him again. The enemy doesn't have to win. So handle conflict well, and it will be good for your church.